You know, over the years, well, I don't know when it was, many years ago, I heard the illustration as far as our ministries, how we want to try to reach this world for Christ. And man described it like a hand, and where you would take a grip on a tool, a hammer, or whatever, the shovel, whatever that tool might be. If I tried to get a hold of that hammer with just my little finger, I wouldn't get a very good hold on it. But if you add the thumb, a couple more fingers, and the whole hand, well, then you can do something. And the illustration I'm trying to make is if there's many tools, many ways that we can adapt and use to reach this world for Christ. And in this internet age, there's so much that's changed, and for old dog like me, it's kind of hard to even comprehend some of those things. And you, I'm thankful the young people here, they'll understand exactly what Brother Lang is talking about. And we want to grow, we want to learn, we want to make use of the opportunities that are there. People are certainly on the internet, they're on their devices continually. I'm watching a lady walk down the street yesterday. I was waiting for her to fall down. She's walking like this. And maybe you've seen videos of somebody doing that, and they walk right off of the curb. But people are on their phones, and now everywhere in the world. I remember the first time I went to Mexico with Bruce's dad nearly 20 years ago. I met one man, one pastor there that had a cell phone. Now you go down there, and everybody's not just got a cell phone, they're smartphones. And so it's a different world we're living in.
I got on a train in Shanghai, China, and looked at everybody like a subway. Only one person was not on the phone. Only one person. Everyone else was on the phone.
Yeah. And that's just the way it is. Even grandmas and grandpas like Marcia and I. But please give Grand Brother Lang your attention. And pray for him as he teaches.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, good morning. It is good to be with you. Thank you, Pastor Turner, for the opportunity to come and share. Let me to come and share with you on this subject, which is so underutilized in so many churches. There are so many opportunities in the digital sphere, and things are changing so fast and so rapidly. What may have worked even 3 or 4 years ago has changed. Even some of the things we were doing over a year ago has changed. And so this is a sphere, an area of ministry that is continually in flux. And this is a subject I've been passionate about for a number of years, as you'll see here shortly. If you're live streaming, thank you for joining us. And we have someone who's monitoring the live feed right now. So if you have any questions, go ahead and feel free to comment in those. We're not going to take questions during the presentation, but at the end, we'll open it up for a question and answer. And so you can submit those questions there on the Facebook page in the stream there, or feel free to text me, email me, and I'll take a look at those as we get into that portion of the presentation. And so let's begin with the word of prayer, and we'll get into it. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. I just pray that you would help us to just open our heart, open our mind, help us to see, as we heard last night in the preaching about not maybe why some people aren't in missions is because they're not seeing what you're seeing. And so I just pray, Father, that you'd help us to see what you see, help us to hear what you hear, and help us to pray. And I just pray that these things, these tools, would help us to be more effective in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Digital ministry in 2021 and beyond. I just would like to start with a couple disclaimers. First of all, digital evangelism is only a tool to reach people. We've already heard that term used a couple times this morning. And as churches, maybe you use tracts as you are out in the community. That is a tool. Maybe your junior high class, or you know, your teen group, you know, that would be a tool as far as not reaching just your teens, but also other teens in the community. And whether it's online streaming services that you have, streaming your church services, that's again is just a tool, and so is digital evangelism. And I do really want to clarify and just to be on the record about this. Digital evangelism, it does not replace traditional forms of church evangelism, like going door to door and tract distributions and things like that. I think I've been misunderstood over the last few years as I talk about this subject. And I think there's some pastors who would think I'm advocating this actually replacing those things. And as we said in the first part there, digital evangelism is only a tool. And it certainly does not replace going door to door and tract distribution and other forms of church outreach. Digital evangelism is only part of an overall strategy for church outreach. So think of everything that Metropolitan Baptist does in the area of outreach and getting the gospel into your community. This is only a part of that overall strategy. And it's also, this area also lends itself to missions in incredible ways, incredible opportunities you'll see here throughout the presentation this morning. But again, it's just a part of an overall strategy. It is important for churches today to have Facebook pages, to have Instagram accounts, websites. Think of that like today. Remember back in the old days, who remembers the yellow pages? Right? When you have the yellow pages and your church could just buy a block. Okay, if you are over 35 years old, you remember back in the time of the yellow pages, and you could buy, you know, a church could buy a little block there in the yellow pages to advertise for your church. So think of your church's Facebook accounts, your Instagram accounts, as like back in the day of the yellow pages. But understand that just having those, it does not equal evangelism. Just having a Facebook page and maybe posting things on there, or your Instagram account, I don't want you to think of that as being evangelism. Those things are necessary. Things you post, it has a natural, organic outreach. What organic is, so you can have paid outreach, you can have a paid reach, or you can have organic reach. When on your church, you post a post, and someone who is not connected to your page, does not follow it, or even if they do follow it, if they see it, that's organic. That's just natural. That it just comes up in the algorithms. Paid outreach, a paid reach is when you actually have to pay money for that to be shown to the people in your community where it shows up in their feed. Organic reach, Facebook has figured out that people are willing to pay Facebook for people to show their things. And so over the years, the organic reach, just naturally, just putting something out there, is going to have a very, very, very few people who are not connected to your church are going to even see it. Very, very few. And so don't think that, oh, well, we have a website, or we have a Facebook page, or we have an Instagram account. That does not equal evangelism. Likewise, just running a few ads. I don't want you to think, all I can do is that, you know, if I just spend a couple $100 on ads over 2 or 3 months, I'm going to be running, you know, a church of, you know, a couple hundred people. It is most likely, although there are exceptions, most likely you'll be needing to run ads for over a year until you begin to see visible results on this. So it's very important to be consistent. And even initially, I've helped many churches, what I'm about to share with you, I've helped many churches start this. But unfortunately, many of them have stopped over a few months because of a lack of fruit. But this is something that, just don't think you can just start doing it and 2 months later you're going to have a couple hundred people in your church. Okay, so just running a few ads is not going to equal church growth, although there are some exceptions to that in places. Knocking on someone's digital door is a great alternative when you're not able to knock on their front door. I don't know if any of you know Ted Alexander. He's been in evangelism for a number of years. He recently came off evangelism and went starting a church in Homestead, Florida. And Homestead, Florida is there's a lot of gated communities there. So if you're going door to door, you just can't walk into a gated community and start knocking on doors. And so that is an area in the United States where, okay, you can't go and knock on their physical door, but coming in through their devices is a great alternative when you can knock on their digital door. As governments become more and more tyrannical, threats of future lockdowns, going digital may end up being a church's main form of outreach in the future. And just want to caution people, those in the ministry, to, I guess, be cautious with your attitude towards this subject of digital evangelism. And I'm going to define my terms here in a moment because it's different with different people. But before COVID happened, I've heard from a number of pastors, because I started in this field primarily with Facebook, meeting people online. This is in Thailand, meeting people online in Thailand and then getting them into one-on-one Bible studies. And so over the years, I've heard from pastors who, Facebook's of the devil. We don't use Facebook. I don't even have a Facebook account. And, you know, look, I'm with you. I don't like the intrusive nature of Facebook either. But when I saw the potential of ministry associated with it, it just sucked me right in. But there were pastors who were, you know, I preach against Facebook from the pulpit, and if you have an account, you need to get right with God. Well, then these same churches didn't have live stream capabilities either, because, you know, bless God, Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So if we have live stream capabilities, there's going to be people who are just going to stay home and not be a part of service. And it's very important to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And if you're providentially hindered and you have the opportunity to watch live stream, I think that's what most churches have it there for. It's certainly not to replace in-person meeting. But what happened was, during COVID, these churches, guess what? All of a sudden, they get locked down and there's no way that they can communicate with their people. They can't. They don't have live stream capabilities. So what did they end up having to do? They didn't have the time to go buy equipment, learn how to get it all set up. So what was the quick and dirty method? Facebook. Put their camera up there and start preaching. And so some pastors had to eat crow, right? For lack of a better word. And so this idea of digital evangelism, and just to be cautious with our attitudes towards it, because it may be in the future, it ends up being the main form of outreach that churches and missionaries may need to resort to. So how did I get started in this? Real quick, I arrived in Thailand in January 2004, and Brother Goday, we had plans of co-laboring together and working together. He had through Fellowship Track League was able to secure 10 million tracks, and many of them had our response cards on in there. On the back of the track had our P.O. box address printed there, and so we were given roughly 10 million tracks. And what we did is we started to strategically sow down different regions of Thailand with these gospel tracts. And then you can see as the response cards started coming in, we were able to gauge where the hot spots were. You know, we may have had one area where, boy, we had one card for every 50 tracts. Wow. And another place we may have had one for, you know, every 300. And we were able to gauge the spiritual temperature of the country. In fact, the here's just some raw data. So in January 2006, we received one response card for every 160 tracks we put out, just across the board, across all the cities. In fact, your church had a SMITE team, I believe it was in 2005. Where's anybody in this room that was part of that, out of curiosity? Okay. So that was, I believe, in early 05. I just don't have the data from that. January 06 was a group from my church. By November of 2008, that had dropped to 1 in 400. And then you can see as things progressed in March of 2012, we were getting one response card for every 1,100 tracks. And by January 2014, we were getting one written response, one card for every 3,000 tracks. Can you see the trend? And by 2012, I was really concerned. I was like, what is going on here? What happened? Well, this is what happened. Does that look familiar? And it's not Thailand. It happened all over the world.
That's right.
All of a sudden, people are no longer sitting next to each other on a park bench talking with each other. Everybody's got their head buried in their smartphone or a tablet or the iPhone was launched in 2007, and it took Thailand by storm. It really did. If you look back at the data, the previous there between January 06 and November 2008, just in that year, just over a year and a half period, and you see the drop right there. That in between there was when the iPhone was launched. This is an interesting slide. This is 2005 at the Vatican when a new pope was to be chosen. If you look carefully at this picture, what do you see?
Digital cameras, but not phones.
You see, here's a digital camera. Here's a video recorder. Digital camera. You see a few of these here or there. In 2013, at the Vatican, when a new pope was to be chosen, what do you see?
Wow.
That's just, 2005, that over an eight-year period. You see multiple mobile phones and tablets, screens. These are shepherds in Afghanistan. And they are not looking for mobile phone reception. But what they are doing in this picture, they are watching media on their feature phone. So you have what's called a dumb phone, you have a feature phone, and you have a smartphone. This is a feature phone, and what they're doing is they're sharing content with each other via Bluetooth and micro SD cards. And so I have been in Southeast Asia and for a number of years, and even in Laos, in a communist country, amongst a people group that I don't even know if they make $300 a year. But yet, in the very these backwoods, on top of a mountain places, people still have phones, smartphones, or feature phones. And it's just amazing. And so what they're doing is they're actually sharing content with each other. And this was an organization that would put parts of maybe the gospel content on there, and then they're able to share that content with each other. And so smartphones, tablets, just didn't take Thailand by storm. It took the world by storm. It took me about 7 years to yield to mobile ministry. As the data here started getting worse and worse, and we started to have less and less response and people taking our Bible correspondence courses, I'm like, something's got to change. And it was, if we're going to get people the gospel, the primary way we're going to have to do it in Thailand anyways is it's going to have to come through their device. And so that led me in 2004, actually with the advice or the suggestion of Doug Hammett, I was able to do something in Thailand through SMS text messaging. Now, you cannot do this today. I caught this at just at the perfect window when it was just started. But I called up an advertising agency, and I said, in the city of Chiang Mai, how many phone numbers do you have? I want men between 25 and 40 years old. I want them to be able to at least have a salary of this amount of money. So I was looking for people who weren't on minimum wage. And I gave some other data. This is the type of guy I'm looking for. And they came back and said, well, we got 32,000 numbers that match that.
Wow.
And so I could either buy the list from them or just rent the list from them. And so we ended up blasting text messaging to all these people. And now, because of privacy laws and laws, basically every country has, you can't do that anymore. You can build your own list. You know, if you have a landing page and you ask for a phone number, I'll send you this free report or whatever, you can collect people's phone numbers on your own, but you just can't go to a marketing agency and just do this anymore. And I caught it just right when things were started before there were laws about that. In 2016, I came kicking and screaming to Facebook. As I mentioned, I don't like the intrusive nature of it either. But when we saw the potential for reaching people, I said, okay, we'll give this a go. What happened was, comparing SMS text messaging and Facebook outreach to track distributions, our text messaging was about 10 times cheaper. 10 times cheaper than track distributions, and Facebook outreach was about 100 times cheaper. So if you consider all the expenses you'd go into a track distribution campaign, let's say it was $1,000, to do that text messaging would have been $100. And to do that through Facebook was about $10. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a place today for track distributions. If, by the way, tonight I'll be giving our presentation on the field, bringing up to date on our plans of what we're going to be, you know, the next stage for our family is. And if the Lord does work it out for us to return to Thailand, I would like to try some more track distribution again and just see if things have changed, if the wave of the cell phone and all that is just to see if going back to the printed word, just to see how effective that is, and it may not be, but it definitely is still having teams from churches to be able to go to the foreign field and to be able to work with your missionaries and doing one of those things, being track distributions. I still think there's some value in that. Suppose I targeted a community with 30,000 tracks, and I was able to give, let's just say, I was able to give one person a track every minute. And if I did this for 5 hours a day, for 5 days a week, it would take me roughly 5 months or 500 man hours to complete that. But using SMS text messaging and Facebook ads, I could deliver the same amount with literally a push of a button. And here's what's amazing about it. Follow-up can begin immediately. I don't have to wait for weeks and weeks and weeks for cards to come in and, you know, correspondence to go back and forth. Follow-up can begin immediately. I've been refining this over the last 5 years. I've made all the mistakes. Okay, I've made the mistakes so you wouldn't have to. I've spent a lot of money and finding out what's working and what's not working, and so happy to share those with you. And again, we need both an online and an offline strategy. This isn't about just being online only, but it's meeting people online, pulling them off of online, and getting them into face-to-face meetings. Okay. So what digital evangelism is not, we are unfortunately living in a time where we have to define our terms. And some people may have a different idea when you say digital evangelism. Something may pop into their mind, which is not where I'm coming from. And so I just want to state, this is my definition. Digital evangelism is not about starting some sort of online church or a virtual extension of your church. You know, where you have your in-person church and then you have your online church, your virtual church. This is not about that at all. It's not about having a church where people can come to on a Sunday and then, you know, you have people all over the United States and different states that are tuning into your services online and you have this online church. So that's not what this is about. What digital evangelism is, it is strategically using the internet and social media platforms to get into gospel conversations with people you meet online in your community, with a goal to get them into Bible studies that leads to their salvation and getting them connected to your church or to another Bible-believing Baptist church. So let me break this down just a little bit. This is using the internet and social media platforms. So using things that exist already to meet people in your community. People already in your community that are open to the gospel, people that are receptive, and finding those people through these social media platforms to get into a gospel conversation with them. And then from there, work towards one-on-one Bible studies, preferably face-to-face Bible studies, in-person Bible studies, where it leads to their salvation, and then from there they can get connected to your church. And so this is what digital evangelism is and is not, according to me, I guess. Proverbs chapter 8, I'd like to make an observation out of Proverbs chapter 8, and then an application. In Proverbs chapter 8, we have the personification of wisdom. We read, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." So as I was reading one day, it was the proverb of the day, and I came across this, and I thought, I made this observation. I thought, you know, well, according to this, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 and 4, wisdom goes to where people are and where she can be seen and heard. She's in the top of high places. So as you're walking by the way, you have these high places, she can be seen, right? She's not on a mountain, isolated on some mountaintop somewhere. She's not in a boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. She's not out in the desert, you know, with just the birds and the beasts of the field. She's by the way. She's in the places of the paths. She's at the gates. She's at the entry of the doors. And so she is in a place where she can be seen. But also she's in a place where she can be heard. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. And so wisdom goes to where people are and to where she can be seen and heard. Now, what do we know about soul winners? They're wise, right? So as soul winners, if we want to be wise, we can maybe take a lesson from wisdom here. As wisdom goes to where people are and where she can be seen and heard, the application is, for us in 2021, where are people gathering at? Where are people giving their attention? Where can we be seen and heard? Now here in North Texas, I know between here and Wichita Falls, Bowie, we spent some time in Bowie, and what do they have? Is it the second Tuesday or the third? Second Monday. Second Monday, okay. And this is pretty common throughout Texas, maybe. So every second Monday of the month is some, I don't know, what do you call it? A flea market. People come and sell their wares, and people in the community come out and they sell, and people visit with each other. And boy, that's just very rare these days. You just don't have that in our culture. In most places, people don't even know their neighbors. Do you know your neighbor's name? My neighbor is missionary Rob Meyer Johnson, so that's pretty easy. But we're just living in a day where we're just so isolated, aren't we? So where are people gathering at? Where are they giving their attention? Where can we be seen and heard? This is only a place where this can be done. It's not the only place. It is a place. What happened online in the last 60 seconds? This is amazing. This is absolutely phenomenal. This is data for 2021. In the last 60 seconds, over $1 million was spent online. Just in 60 seconds. Netflix. Over 760,000 hours were watched in the last 60 minutes. Google. How many of you have used Google to do your searching? In the last 60 seconds, there are over 4 million Google searches. Over 1 million people logged into Facebook. Text messaging. Over 19 million texts were sent. Over, in 60 seconds, 4.7 million videos were viewed on Facebook. Thank you, YouTube. Over 400,000 apps were downloaded from Google Play and the App Store. 190 million emails were sent. 60 seconds. This is just text messaging, 19 million, but between Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp, over 59 million messages were sent. Well, that's happening online, isn't it? This is the average amount of time internet users aged 16 to 64 spend using the internet on any device. Any device could be a mobile phone, could be a desktop computer, tablet, any device. United States is 7 hours and 11 minutes on average. And by the way, over 10 hours, you have the countries of Philippines, Brazil, Colombia, and South Africa. Over 10 hours a day. Where is Mexico? You see
nine.
It?
Right there at 9:01.
All right. Yeah. And by the way, I can direct, if anyone's interested for their specific country, specific data like this for your specific country, let me know and I'll direct you on how to find it. So that was on any device, but this is just mobile phone. Now, just on your mobile phone, of those 7 hours and 11 minutes in the United States, 3 hours and 13 minutes of it was spent on their mobile phone. That means the remaining 4 hours were spent on desktop, computer, tablets, things like that. And by the way, this is a very good reason, and I'm sure the churches represented here don't have this problem right now, but it's very important to have a mobile-friendly website. How many of us have gone onto a church's website or just any website that wasn't mobile friendly and you have like their whole front page and just takes up your screen and everything's so small and you got to pinch and zoom and swipe and you got all these little buttons and you're trying to read. Well, if someone's interested in your church and visiting your church and you don't have a mobile friendly site and they come to that, what's going to happen?
Gone.
They're gone. Yeah. And so it's just, it is what it is. And so it is one reason to have to be sure that all your ministry websites are all mobile friendly. Of those 7 hours that the average American spends online, this is on social media. How much of that 7 hours is on social media? Well, in the United States, it's just over 2 hours a day is spent on social media. It's amazing, isn't it? 2 hours a day just scrolling through Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, and all of that. More than half of the world now uses social media. Over 4.4 billion people are on social media. So, back to Proverbs 8 and the application. Where are people gathering at? Where are they giving their attention? And where is it that we can be seen and heard? And using the internet and social media, the gospel can go to where the people are giving their attention.
Right.
And where the gospel can be seen and heard. And so, again, it's not the only place, but it is a place where people, 7 hours a day, online. And what are we as independent Baptists doing as in the area of digital evangelism, our ads and the things that we produce can run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And there are people that are searching out there, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. But using the internet and social media, we can give the gospel to people. They're in a place where they can be seen and heard. Now, specifically, which platforms are most Americans on? This is from January 2020. This is messaging apps. So your main messaging apps are Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp. And if you notice, the blue here, this is Facebook Messenger. And so United States, Canada, Australia, that's the primary messaging app. It doesn't mean that WhatsApp or anything else isn't used. This is just the primary choice. The green is WhatsApp. And now the question is, do you know who owns WhatsApp? I heard Zuckerberg. Yep, Facebook. Facebook owns WhatsApp. So look at that. Think of all the blue and all the green. And that's all run by Facebook. I ballparked 6 to 6.5 billion people that Facebook has eyes on. And when we get into specifically Facebook evangelism, with this whole digital evangelism, where I'm going to piece it up like a piece of pie and talk about different pieces of where, of how churches can be involved and missionaries can be involved in it. But we'll get to it soon. But in Facebook advertising, one of the objectives that you can choose is to get messaging, where they see your ad and they will then text you. They'll push a button and they'll begin to interact with you. It's called a send message campaign. And within Facebook, you can choose to have those sent to your page's Facebook Messenger account, the inbox there, or to your WhatsApp. So if you're in India or South Africa, you can choose to have those messages sent to that your preferred messaging app. So in other words, in South Africa, they may say that, you know, you have all these people on Facebook Messenger, but most of them don't use it. Most of them there use WhatsApp. And so that is a nice little feature that they have that you can choose for your specific country based on what the primary messaging app is on how you choose them to be able to contact you. In the United States, this is the most used social media platforms. So this is internet users aged 16 to 64 that has used each of these platforms in the past month. And you see YouTube is at 82%. This is number one in the United States, followed by Facebook at 73%. In most of the rest of the world, it's just flipped. In most of the rest of the world, it's Facebook is number one, YouTube's number two. But here in the United States, it's just flipped. YouTube's number one, Facebook's number two. You see Instagram is at 57%. By the way, guess who owns Instagram? Facebook, Zuckerberg does, yeah. In the United States, the top messaging platform, Facebook Messenger, is at 56%. Twitter is at 43%. Snapchat's at 32%. TikTok is at crazy China app is just exploding. This year, they're at TikTok's 26%. If you looked at, this is January 2021. In January 2020, TikTok was at 12%. And so just in 1 year, it's doubled
in the U.S.
WhatsApp is at 23%. Skype is at 17%. So. And so WhatsApp's been holding kind of steady, maybe increasing ever so slightly, but definitely in the United States, Facebook Messenger is the app, messaging app, to be able to engage people with. Just some YouTube statistics. With 2.2 billion monthly active users, over 1 billion hours of YouTube videos are watched daily. Daily. Every day. Over 1 billion hours are watched. Think about what could be done in ministry with that. You know, churches often who live stream services will, you know, have a YouTube channel where they put their whole service up there. And that's fine, but I don't know too many people are going to sit there and watch a 40-minute message, 40, 45-minute message, right? But what if you just took highlights, like a 2-minute clip or a 3-minute clip, and you put them on your YouTube page, and then you can do advertising. That's another piece of pie I'll come to be able to push that into the community also. There's so much that can be done on YouTube, and it is the second largest search engine. What's the largest search engine? Google. YouTube is the second largest search engine. And um, 90% of users say they have learned about a new brand or product on YouTube. How many of us, 68%, have watched a YouTube video to help make a purchase decision? Am I the only one who's done that? Where you're thinking of buying a product and you're like, I wonder what the reviews are. So you just go and you type that product, and then there's people who have bought that product. They're unboxing it. They're reviewing it. And you're like, yeah, it's not what I was expecting. Or, yeah, this is exactly what I want. Facebook statistics for 2021. With over 2.4 billion monthly active users, Facebook is still the king of social media. And this is worldwide. This is not the United States. This is worldwide. As I said, most of the rest of the world, Facebook is number one. And then YouTube's number two. Facebook has 2.7 billion users, followed by YouTube at 2.3 billion, followed by WhatsApp at 2 billion, Facebook Messenger 1.3 billion, and Instagram 1.2 billion. And just notice the difference between these two messaging apps is roughly 700 million people. So WhatsApp is definitely more popular outside the United States than in the United States. But of these top five, Facebook, YouTube, WhatsApp, Facebook, Messenger, Instagram, Facebook owns four of those top five. Isn't that crazy? Four out of these top five worldwide are all owned by Facebook. Fascist book, as some like to call it. Facebook is the app is the second most downloaded app, with its Messenger platform the seventh most popular. The average Facebook user spends an average of 34 minutes a day on Facebook. E-commerce sites, roughly 80% of the referrals, in other words, that go to an e-commerce site, come from a Facebook ad, where they see you see an ad on Facebook. Oh, that's interesting. You click on it, takes you to their website. You end up making a purchase there. 80% of all referrals in on e-commerce sites come being referred from Facebook. So the point is, with so much online activity, many churches are missing out on the largest mission field if they are not employing digital evangelism methods. People are searching for truth online. And there's a book called, have you heard the book You Lost Me? It's written by the guys at Barna Research Group, and it's about the millennial age and people below, and how their data shows how they analyze the data to show that churches in general are losing that generation because they just don't understand them. And and it's a really fascinating book. But one of the points that was made in that book was that the millennial generation was the first one that grew up completely digital. So my generation, I can remember a time before the internet, and then the internet comes along. But the next generation grew up completely digitally online. And you know what? With those people, literally anything they want to know is at their fingertips. They decide who they want to believe. They decide who they want to follow. I think this person's telling the truth. I'm going to follow this person. Or I think this person's right. I'm going to listen to this person. And so you have this whole generation of people that whatever they want to know, all they got to do is pull out their phone, their tablet, and just go to Google and say, who is Jesus? And what is interesting and what's fascinating, we'll actually take a break here in just a moment. After this slide, it actually makes a really great transition point. But roughly 85% of people considered unreached by the gospel. Now, we can argue with, you know, how groups like the Joshua Project and people who track these groups, and we could, you know, what they consider to be reached versus what we would consider to be reached, I think would be considerably different. A tribe in Mexico that's primarily Catholic, I would say, is not reached. But they're classified as reached. So I think this number is actually low. But let's just go with their data. Okay, I think this is actually much higher. But 85% of people who are considered unreached by the gospel live in countries where they are actively engaging in YouTube, Facebook, and other social media platforms. And they're asking questions. You just go on Google next time and you just type in, is Jesus? And then you get the automatic list that comes up that just kind of fills in, is Jesus God? Is Jesus a man? Is Jesus this? Is Jesus that? And you can see what are people searching for when it comes to who Jesus is. And so if we are not on YouTube, if we are not on Facebook, if we are not in these other places, this is the place where people are giving their attention. Here in the United States, 7 hours a day. What was Mexico, 10?
Mexico was 10.
Or 9, 10, something like that. And this is one space where people are giving their attention to. And if we are not here, if we are not able, if we're not actively engaging in these platforms, we're not going to find them.
Amen.
You know, we don't want the Mormons to find, you know, we don't want them to engage with cults and with people who don't teach salvation by repentance and faith. And you have this generation of people, they are asking questions. And they go to the internet to find the answers. And if we're not there to meet them with the truth, who is? People who don't have the truth. So we'll go ahead and take a break here. Let's break for, 10 minutes or so?
Sounds good.
Okay. And then we're going to start getting into now the different pieces of digital ministry. And we'll start off with